Hello and welcome to a Touchline Fracker podcast. I'm your host Lewis, and this week we'll be bringing you the first of a two-part World Cup preview special. We'll be discussing groups A to D, giving you an in-depth look of all the countries involved. Giving you the insight this week, we have Palace fan Ruben, who has already wrote a fascinating preview for the World Cup. How you doing, Ruben?
Hello, good to be here.
We also have Mariah and Gaz joining us. How you doing, guys?
Not too bad.
As well as a debutant today, Mark, who goes by Mark15 on Twitter. I'm sure you guys know him. How you doing, Mark?
Evening.
Yeah, nice to have you, mate. So we'll start with Group A, which consists of Brazil, Mexico, Croatia and Cameroon. Ruben, I suppose Brazil are not only favourites for this group, but favourites for the competition. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I would. I think Brazil are going to win it. They've got some competition in sort of Spain, who obviously won like last three tournaments, Europe and World Cup. So that will be tough. But I think this year, with Brazil being the hosts and Neymar always doing amazingly well for his nation, I think Brazil will win it and they'll win the group with these 9 points, great goal difference.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Brazil squad, is there any notable people who are left out? I mean, I think Kaká and Robinho aren't there, of course.
Yeah, you can justify their absences. I think Lucas Moura is probably the most notable, and Felipe Luis and Miranda.
And Miranda, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, taking Maxwell and Henrique over those two is a bit strange, but Scolari's got some weird tendencies. Ramirez as well, who I wouldn't have taken, but he does a job. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Lucas Moura they might miss, but I mean they've got good wingers in sort of Willian and Bernard can play out wide. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. I was listening to something on the BBC the other day, and what they were saying about Brazil is that in Brazil it's not a shock that Miranda and Lucas Moura are not going to the World Cup. Essentially what they were saying is that in Brazil they do things slightly different. They do it on how they play for Brazil rather than how they play for their clubs.
Yeah, and for national form. That makes sense, because Hulk goes and he always starts and he does quite well for Brazil. Same with Fred. He's not playing for a top European team, but he did well last summer.
Mm.
So, and Felipe Luis and Miranda haven't really been regulars in the team at all. So you can kind of understand their absence from that point of view, but I still think, based on the seasons they've had, they deserved a place.
Mm. Mariah, where would you say Brazil's weaknesses lie?
The only glaring weakness would obviously be up front for me. Like, they haven't got a top quality striker. Like, they're picking them up to likes of Joe and Fred. Those are also around. Like, got Joe, I don't know if you guys remember him from Man City. Yeah? He was a bit of a joke. But I think he's gone back to Brazil. He's worked hard and he's kind of got himself back up there. I think, considering the talent they have around him, or whoever does play up front, I think all the guy has to be is competent. Like, just 7 out of 10, hold the ball up well, finish the chances you're given, and it will be all right. But when you think they've had Ronaldo, Romario, Pele, Zico, if you go to a World Cup with Fred and Joe as your options, is a bit comical. But other than the front line, I think they're all right all over the pitch. Alves isn't the player he was, but he's still pretty good quality. Same with Marcelo. A few different options in central midfield. I think they're going to win it as well, to be honest with you. I think Neymar's going to be amazing. Oscar always seems to play better for Brazil as well. And Hulk, even though I don't like him personally, he also seems to do a job. So, yeah, I'm going with Brazil as well.
Mm.
All the way.
Okay. Gaz, do you have anything else to add on Brazil?
I think with Brazil, they kept a similar squad to the one that won the Confederations Cup. Without maybe one or two changes, but not too many. I was hearing the other day, they've got a good team spirit. Thiago Silva was talking about how important Neymar is to their team in terms of, like, he's a personality and he helps take the pressure off a lot of the players. And in Neymar, they've got a player that scored 31 and 48. So, you know, I don't think goals would be a big issue for them, to be fair.
Mm.
Even though they haven't got an out-and-out goal scorer, I think they will create chances.
Yeah.
And I think all you need, as was said, a competent player to hold the ball well, get in the box and just score as many as they can, which I think will do so.
Mm. Mark, how do you think that the burden of being a host, well, do you think it is a burden? Firstly, would be the question, I suppose.
I would say for this Brazil team, probably not, because they seem to play with a freedom that other teams haven't usually. So they, it looks like they're sort of like embracing it. So they've sort of flipped it. So they've kind of gone into the tournament thinking, we're going to be favourites. So I think they might be playing on that.
Yeah. Okay, well...
Yeah, I'd agree with all.
Okay. I mean, well, not much to add on Brazil. Brazil are quite a well-known country. Everyone expects them to do well. And I think anything less than getting to the final for Brazil... Actually, probably anything less than winning the World Cup for Brazil would be a failure for them. I suppose it's kind of a toss-up between Croatia and Mexico as to who finishes second. The bookies would have you believe Croatia are the favourites to finish second in the group. Mariah, would you agree with that?
Yeah, personally, I would actually. They've got quite a few decent... actually, better than decent. They've got a few seasoned players. They've got Modric coming off. Personally, for me, was the best midfielder in Europe this season. So he's coming off a good season. They've got Mandzukic, who was banging in goals, albeit with Bayern, but he also had a good season. And what I've noticed, when I do look at their results, they tend to beat the teams they're meant to beat and lose to the teams they're meant to lose to. So they never overachieve, but they never underachieve.
Right, yeah.
So if we're judging that way, they look favourites to come second. So yeah, I would expect them to beat the other two and just lose to Brazil.
Mm.
So yeah, Croatia to come second.
I think they came second in their group. I can't remember who was in their qualifying group. Does anyone remember who was in Croatia's qualifying group?
I've got no idea, sorry.
No idea, but
was it Italy?
Yeah, it might be.
Mm. Well, I know they beat Iceland in a playoff. Who do you think are their standouts? Their standout players, Mark.
Croatia, I would say Modric, as mentioned. Rakitic.
Oh yeah, Rakitic as well.
They even got a decent youngster called Kovacevic from Inter.
Mm.
He may turn a few heads.
Yeah, that looks quite exciting.
I think he's
Croatia, because I know he's in and out of the team at Inter. He's a talent.
I think he doesn't start, but I think with youngsters he might just go into the deep end just because they have no fear.
Maybe a bit like Ross Barkley for England.
Yeah, and obviously Dario Cerna, you can't forget about him. I mean, free kick specialist, seasoned pro. So they got quite a few players that could do a job.
Actually, it's coming back to me. They were in the same group as Belgium.
Oh, Belgium was it? Okay.
Yeah, Belgium was the group that they were in. But yeah, I actually expect them to come.
I remember them sort of struggling to actually beat Iceland in the playoff. I think they drew one of the games, and and then, you know, I think they kind of scraped through 2-0.
Yeah, they drew away at Iceland and they won 2-0 at home.
Yeah,
he was. That's why I think he suspended for the first game.
Yeah.
They even struggled towards the back end of the qualifying. I think they got like 1 point from 12 towards the end.
Oh wow!
So, like, they really struggled towards the end. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I personally think Mexico will finish second.
You think Mexico will finish second, Mark?
Yeah.
They'll favour the climate more, Mexico.
Yeah, and I think they've got like a bunch of exciting mobile players.
Mm.
Like
Carlos Vela's not going, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is strange because he's great, but it's to do with his relationship with the manager and how he hasn't played for them.
You mentioned in your article he hasn't played since 2011. Is that right, Ruben?
Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah.
Was that down to the shenanigans he got to with the rest of the team, or some of the team, like with I think it was
him and was it Dos Santos and?
I can't remember.
I think it might have been.
I remember them getting banned. Was it for the Copa? I can't remember if it was for the Copa America or something. Was it for the Copa America?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you talk about Mexico. They finished fourth in qualifying in the CONCACAF. So, I mean, when you think of the teams that finished ahead of them, you're talking, USA, obviously. Costa Rica finished ahead of them. And so did Honduras. And Mexico finished fourth.
They did win the Olympics, though.
Sorry?
They beat Brazil in the final. They did beat Brazil in the final of the Olympics. Under 23s. I think it's near enough. I won't say near enough the same squad, but you would think they've got a clutch of players from that squad that have gone into the World Cup.
I think the climate is going to be a big factor during the World Cup. That's what makes me so confident with Brazil.
Right. Do you think that will help Mexico as well, the climate?
Yeah, definitely.
I guess so. We'll see. But I'm not as confident with them as I am with Brazil. I just think just when these European teams get here, they're just going to be shocked. Like, in the Confederation Cup, Italy, obviously, with the end of the season, like it is now, but Italy and Spain just dead on their legs, man. Like, they couldn't keep up at all.
Yeah.
Well, I know Mexico lost to Bosnia the other day in a friendly. Bosnia are quite a similar team to Croatia. They've got a few star players, and I fancy Croatia personally to finish second. I don't really think
on paper I'd fancy Croatia, but the climate might be quite significant. But I think it will just come down to Croatia versus Mexico. Whoever wins out should probably come second with 6 points, because I don't really see Cameroon.
That's actually the last game of the group, Croatia versus Mexico.
Oh, that'll be good then.
Yeah,
I think it'll be interesting because Hernandez is not necessarily first choice for them anymore. The manager,
he doesn't get good feedback. Yeah, they don't really like him over there, man.
I think there's a lad called Peralta. And he's been banging in a couple of goals for his club, to be fair. And I think he might be first choice.
Is that down to the season though? Because I've been reading a lot of things where sort of like the Mexican press have been getting onto like Manchester United because they're not playing him and they want to get him in tip-top shape for the World Cup.
Yeah, because he has been making a lot of noise. Well, how much of it is true about Hernandez? A lot of stuff has been coming out in the papers and the media about him not being happy with the lack of game time and stuff. So maybe both coincide with each other.
I think De Santos might have a good World Cup, though. I think he's a top player. I think Spurs ruined him. It's upsetting. But they tend to do that anyway. But yeah, he's a good player, man. He's skillful. I'm a fan of his.
And of course, they still have the legendary Rafael Marquez at the back.
Yeah, he's still plugging away, man. He's been playing forever. Yeah, man. He was a good player in his prime. I don't know how he's doing these days, though.
I don't even know who he plays.
He's at New York Red Bulls, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's at a team called Leon, a Mexican team called Leon.
Oh, okay.
No idea how good they are. you know, I don't know.
He's probably not getting tested. He's probably just playing football from his armchair, so who knows.
Probably playing on reputation, yeah.
So nobody has... So everyone's given up on Cameroon then, yeah?
Well, I was just about to move on to Cameroon.
To be fair with them, they only made it through because Togo fielded an eligible player against them.
Did they really?
So that's the only reason they're actually at the World Cup.
Because I looked at the group. It said they finished top of their group, but was that because Togo...
They got 3-0 win.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got given a 3-0 win from FIFA, so...
God, yeah, well, the bookies have them, Skybet have them at 25-1 to progress from the group, so I think that kind of speaks for itself. I don't think anyone would be wasting any money on Samuel Eto'o to pull up any trees. But, I mean, you look at their team, they've got some decent players. Their midfield especially, they got Matip, Mbia, Song, Makoun.
Yeah, I still think Song's pretty good. Like, he hasn't done much at Barca, but I quite liked him at Arsenal. And I'm looking forward to seeing Dongu play if he's in the squad.
Barca B-striker?
Yeah.
No, he's not in the squad.
Mbia had a decent season with Seville, to be fair.
You know what? He's actually shocked me. I mean, he came to England as a defensive midfielder, but he's more creative now, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's gone to Sevilla and he's sort of been given the freedom to pull the strings and, you know, like, do whatever.
Mm-hmm. They've got a striker from Lorient as well, Abu Kaba, I think his name is.
Oh, he's got like 16 goals in League One this season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he had a good season, so Samuel Eto'o may not necessarily be first choice.
Yeah, I think that the other geezer they've got up front as well, he's got about five names. Oh, let me try to find these names.
I've
seen him play for in Germany, and he's a pretty decent player as well.
He's got 9 goals in 19 appearances.
Yeah,
so he scored against Germany recently as well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. So they've got some decent players, but maybe,
a strong group.
You never know. You talk about the climate. Croatia may struggle in the climate. Mexico aren't the Mexico of old World Cups. And you never know. I mean, the Cameroon side in 1990, they got to the semi-finals, didn't they? With Roger Miller. You never know. Maybe put a couple of quid on them to progress.
It's a funny game, isn't it? So it's one of the runs where they may come up and shock us and come second in the group.
Exactly.
Brazil, so you never know.
So we're going. How are we going with this group then? Are we going Brazil, Croatia, Mexico, Cameroon, or does anyone disagree with that?
I'm going to disagree, but I think you lot will go with Croatia second. But I personally going to go with Mexico second.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'll go with Croatia.
Same. I'm with
Ruben.
Croatia second.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to Group B then. Group B consists of the holders, Spain, Holland, Van Gaal's Holland, Chile, and Australia. So, is Spain everyone's favourites to finish top?
Yeah.
I mean, Spain's squad is
ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
They're just show-offs, man. They're leaving Thiago and Isco out. Thiago's injured, but like they still don't. They're not taking either of them.
They're not taking Navas.
And like all six of their central midfielders would still walk into most other teams. It's so unfair.
Yeah, they should probably put like Catalunya in European World Cup qualifying and see how they fare. They'll probably qualify for the World Cup and do pretty well as well. So we're all agreeing that they're going to finish top. How do we think Spain are going to sit up though? I mean, I know Costa's injured. You reckon he'll go Torres up front?
I think they'll go false nine with Fabregas being nine. I think they'll go Fabregas.
Right.
And that's
like they did in the Euros. They did that against Italy in the first game. They sat lined up with Fabregas as a false nine, and then I think Torres might have come on. I think they'll alternate between those two in the group stages with maybe Villa as a winger because they haven't taken Navas. They've just taken Pedro. So and then when Costa's fit, he'll come back in. And yeah, I assume they'll just play like their sort of Barca's shape with their left winger being more narrow because Jordi Alba will overlap, and Pedro playing on the right wing. And I think they should win all of their group matches like pretty comfortably.
You think I could see them getting maybe drawing one of their group games, not with Australia, but maybe with
Chile. Because Chile again, South American team. Favorite.
Chile have an attitude. They've got character. The Chile team.
Yeah. Fighters, I mean that group has got some pearlers, doesn't it? I mean, it's Spain versus Holland the second day of the competition, and then the next game after that, where you got Spain then have Chile, and then Spain Australia last game, and Netherlands Chile on the last game.
I think it'll be very tight between Chile. Sorry, but I've got to say, very tight between Chile and Holland.
And Holland, yeah.
I think they'll take it to the last game.
Yeah, that's what it is. The last game is between Holland and Chile. So.
It's like in Group A with Croatia and Mexico. It's like it could go either way. One of them's South American. One of them's meant to be like generally a bit better than the other, but I think Chile could do really well against Holland, especially as Chile's strength lies in like Sanchez, Vargas, and Vidal.
Vidal's a player, man.
Is he fit?
Yeah, he is. He's had his surgery, hasn't he? And
he's
got 18 goals this season from midfield. When you think of it, that's a great record for a midfielder.
He's like Yaya Toure in the respect. He's like a box-to-box, can do literally everything pretty well and still scores loads of goals. And that's their strength. And then Holland's weakness is their inexperienced defence. So that game will be really, really important.
It'll be interesting.
Chile tends to play free at the back, so I think that'll be...
I think Van Gaal's going... Well, I think he's gone to the World Cup, was mentioned, using a 3-5-2. So I was going to say it could be sort of like who is better in each position, because Chile, like you said, Chile play a 3-5-2, and Van Gaal has mentioned a lot going to the World Cup with a 3-5-2 or 4-3-3 or a formation where he is flexible to change in between.
I think with Haaland, I think the Strootman injury completely changed what his plans were. I think he would have gone with 4-3-3 had Strootman been fit, But with that injury, I think that forced his hand and he's decided to go with the sort of, he's practiced a 3-5-2 in their last two games.
Yeah, I know Van der Vaart has also not made his trip.
Yeah.
I know we don't really think of Van der Vaart as a top player in Europe anymore, but Van der Haal seems to fancy him for Holland, and he was an integral part of their setup, I think.
Yeah, they're definitely going to feel that those two losses are really before that I could have seen them maybe as a dark horse for the semis, but now they've lost two important players. I don't see them getting too far, to be honest with you.
I think Schneider I know everyone thinks Schneider's finished, but I think he could have a decent World Cup. Apparently he's had boxing training, so to get very fit for this World Cup, I think he could play like a key role in that with the three in midfield. I think he'll be, in terms of distribution of the ball and ball retention, I think he'll be key.
Everyone seems to have forgotten about Arjen Robben as well. He's sort of, you know,
started in a up front, like off Van Persie the other day. Yeah, so like scored. They can revert from formation to formation, and he scored. Yeah, so, and I think if they want to bring on Huntelaar and go like all out attack sort of thing, they could play Van Persie and Huntelaar with Robben still on the wing, and that would be deadly. So he'll be, he's probably their biggest threat from midfield. And then they've got such great strikers that you can't really rule them out for second, although Chile will obviously be part of a fight.
Yeah, Van Persie, he's had his worst season probably in probably about 5 seasons, but for Holland he's quite prolific. So
he was prolific for us as well. He was injured quite a few times. You can kind of bank on him to get you goals as long as he's getting the chances to put them away. It's going to be tough because Chile really, I think they're a little underrated. They're definitely going to be a tough game for Holland. But yeah, definitely Spain to go through top for me.
And, well, we spoke a little bit about Holland and Chile. What about Australia? I know Jedinak has been called up, Ruben. How happy are you about that?
I'm pleased. He's our captain. He's their captain. So I think he's good for us because our system sort of suits him. He gets the limelight because we focus on like defensive solidity, and he's a great passer. But I don't think Australia will really have enough of the ball, and he won't have that much support around him to sort of do that well. Really, I look forward to seeing him play, but they're just going to lose every game, I think.
They're quite a young squad.
I was looking at their team now, and you know, Australia, they were never a great team, but they did have like some quite high profile players, and you look at their team
Harry
now.
Harry Kewell, Mark Viduka.
Yeah.
A few years back.
Their highest profile player is now Tim Cahill, who's probably coming to the end of his
career. He's like 34, isn't he? Yeah. So his last tournament,
And they've got a lot of Australian based players.
I think what their plan was with this is that they took a young squad because they hosted the next Asia Cup or Championship, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
They're hosting that, so I think the plan is to really make a good impression there. Right. And with the World Cup being their sort of experience, picking up experience and a learning curve for their players for the Asian Championship.
Didn't they struggle against, I think, Oman to get through? They just about got through against Oman.
Yeah,
it
went down to the last day between Australia and Jordan, and I think they even played each other on the last game. I may be wrong there.
Did Carlos Queiroz manage?
Sorry,
Iran.
Iran.
Oh, okay, it might have been a different team.
Yeah, they.
I don't know.
I think they beat Jordan like 4-0. For them to qualify or something like that on like the last day. And it was really tight because they struggled. They were drawing against these silly teams. Many had them as down not to qualify towards the end of the qualifying campaign. So they really did struggle. Does anyone see any like breakout stars coming out of this group?
Yeah, to be fair, I think Holland will be very interesting because they've gone. Van Gaal tends to go with, he likes to pick young players who feels he can mould into the way he wants to play the game and the way he visionises the game. I think Jordi Classy, could be a one to watch out for if you've never seen him before. For Feyenoord, good player. And,
Bruno Martins Indy, their left centre back, he's sort of their key figure in defence, and He's got a lot of hype around him, so I hope he does quite well. And they've got this Memphis Depay of PSV in their attack with quite a few young midfielders. Like Leroy Fair didn't do that well this season, but he's a good player, classy, as you said. So I think Martin Zindi and Depay and Classy will be there.
Has anyone seen that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ruben.
No worries.
That Lens, I've not seen much of him. Lens.
Yeah, no, he came off the bench 2 days ago.
He scored the other day, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, all I know is he's very quick.
Yeah, I think he's just a typical winger. They've also got, obviously, Jonathan de Guzman. I'm not too sure whether he will get a look in.
I like him. I think him and De Jong might start as the two centre mids.
And
they've got that wonder kid who's been a wonder kid for about 10 years, that Wijnaldum.
Oh, yeah, Wijnaldum, yeah. Full manager legend.
Yeah.
I think with De Jong as well. I think De Jong under the last World Cup, I think he was made out to seem as if, you know, he's a tough guy, he's not a very good footballer, but I think from games I've seen of him recently, he's actually a very, very good footballer on the ball, and he's not given as much credit as he probably should be. I think he could have a good World Cup.
Yeah. Okay. So how we... Put your necks on the line then, boys. How are we going? Spain to top the group. I'm going Chile to finish second. And then Holland and Australia.
Yeah, I'm going Spain, Chile.
Spain, Holland for me. I'm going to back Van Gaal's experience.
I'm going to go Holland. Just because of Van Persie. I think when you've got someone like him up front, you've always got a good chance.
Yeah,
I'd love them to come out early because that means Van Gaal can get on his job at United.
Exactly. Yeah,
I think Spain, Holland.
Okay. Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting group. It's definitely going to be an interesting group. There's a lot of crunch games there, and even Spain. You know, I mean, if they don't, you know, start quickly, they could be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, like they lost to Switzerland in the last World Cup.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be able to get away with that this time.
If they could easily, like we're saying, they'll finish top with 9 points, which they probably will. But if they lose to Holland, then it all gets blown wide open. So, because like it's not impossible for them to lose to either Spain or Chile or Holland. Sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Gone.
I just think they need a little bit of a tactical reshuffle. Spain, like they've been doing the same thing for a while. Teams have kind of not cottoned on to them. But it's getting a bit dull, like they should change things up. But obviously, when you've won 3 tournaments, it's hard to go out of your way to really change stuff. So, yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see, definitely. I think I see them getting about 7 points, not 9 points. I think someone's going to sneak a draw against them.
Okay. Maybe the first team to retain the World Cup as well.
Yes.
I don't see actually doing it personally. I think their experience and ability will get them to maybe the semis, but then they'll lose to Brazil or maybe even Germany.
Hmm. Okay, well, Group C is up next. Group C is Colombia, Ivory Coast, Greece, and Japan. So, you know, it's quite middle-of-the-range teams, but they're all quite even teams. So I reckon all the games in that group could be quite interesting. Ruben, who do you see coming out on top of this group?
I think it's between Colombia and Ivory Coast. Like you said, they're all pretty close, and especially with Colombia's lack of Falcao this time, which is a huge blow, obviously, because he's their best player, it will be even closer. But I still think they are the teams that possess the most quality in other areas. So Greece are, you know, they're okay, but they'll do well to get out of the group. And Japan, again, they've got a few good players, but I don't think they can really compete that much with Colombia and Ivory Coast.
I think with Ivory Coast, they've always been a bit of I don't want to say a disappointment.
Yeah, definitely underachievers.
I think they've been a bit of underachievers with their squad, because they've always been, well, not always, but for the last, say, what, 10 years, they've always been quite the strongest African team, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they on haven't
paper,
necessarily...
On paper, they've definitely had the best squad. I don't think... Have they won the African Cup?
No, they haven't.
Nah.
I haven't.
Strange, really. But
I mean, Egypt always do well in the African Nations Cup, but they never qualify for the World Cup, which is quite strange.
Huh?
But I think Ivory Coast, Yaya Toure.
They have a good team. They have a good team, a team that could perhaps get to the quarterfinals. But every international tournament, something just seems to, it doesn't seem to click. Like, Yaya doesn't get to be the same Yaya Toure that he is for Manchester City. Of course, we'll probably need him to do a bit more of a defensive shift for them. But we'll see. I think Japan will go through personally.
Same. I think Ivory Coast is, their supposedly golden generation is getting on a bit now. I think I don't see Drogba starting.
That's the thing, it's like with Etu, because like Drogba and Etu, on like given the seasons that they've had and the season that Boney's had, Boney should probably start ahead of Drogba, but I think Drogba's captain and they start him anyway.
It would
make sense to play sort of 4-4-2, Toure and Tiote centre mid, Boney and Drogba up top, but I think they play 4-2-3-1 with Yaya Toure as a number 10, so that might sort of limit how well they do, because Boney's probably the best option to play as a number 9.
Jovino will be interesting as Jovino, well.
Yeah.
He's had a good season at Roma.
And Kalou's done quite well, hasn't he? In France.
Yeah.
He's been consistent for them for a few years now.
Yeah.
All
so,
his chips in the goals. I liked him at Chelsea, actually. He always used to seem to come on and score for them. I really like Kalou.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I definitely think Japan and Colombia for me.
I think Japan was really impressed at the Confederations Cup, didn't they?
Italy.
Against Italy, they beat Belgium recently as well.
The heat might be what kills Japan, actually, when you think about it. Thinking about the heat,
aren't they naturally fit athletes? I mean, if you look at sort of the players that's obviously don't like won the shirt. They seem to be running for marathons.
We'll see, man. Definitely, it'll suit Colombia or suit Ivory Coast. Definitely, before despite the fact they're athletes, I think. Could come into play. We'll see. Greece.
I think Greece had the best defensive record in the European section.
Greece have Papadopoulos and who's the other one? Socrates from Dortmund.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, at the back, which is pretty solid. And could prove quite hard for Martinez and Drogba to beat. But in attack, I think they lack any. Like Mitroglou's quite good, but he's had a terrible season.
Moving halfway as well.
In Greece.
Yeah, the youngster, Nenis.
All right. And they've got Salfingidis on the wing and Samaras. And it's all okay, but it's a bit too mediocre.
Well, they only scored 12 goals in 10 games in qualifying.
Yeah,
anyone who plays them, you really have to earn your goals, man.
Yeah.
Don't see them concede more than two in any of their games personally. They always make it tough for you. Definitely.
But I think if you do get a goal against them...
That's it.
I think... I don't think they really have any real attacking impetus. To really cause anyone a threat. So
yeah,
I think...
Tell them the Euros, right? So it's like they haven't evolved.
Yeah, like I think most teams will be looking to sort of get an early goal against them. And,
Just keep it tight, yeah.
Keep it tight. Myself, personally, I think we'll see Colombia top.
Yeah, they've got a
bunch of tight force. Which could mean that we play them in the next round.
Depending on where we finish, yeah.
I think even without Falcao, I think they've got... Jackson Martinez or Porto.
Muriel.
Prolific.
No, they didn't bring Muriel. They didn't bring Muriel.
What?
You're lying.
No, they didn't.
Wow.
They left Muriel. They took Bakar and Ramos and Ibarbo. And obviously Martinez. Whoa.
Ramos is off to Dortmund, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a good year for Berlin. Got 16, I think. So it wasn't too bad.
I mean, I don't know too much about the rest of Colombia's team. I know they've got a very, very old defence. Ruben, didn't you say they've got like two...
Oh, yeah. Zapata from
Milan.
From Milan. And then his partner, Mario Yepes, who went to... He's 38 now. He went to Atalanta. And I think he was starting games there. Like, he's okay. He can do that job in Italy against the bottom half of the table. Because, just the nature of Serie A. But... in the World Cup, especially against people like Drogba, Boney, Jackson Martin. Oh, he plays in this team, whatever. Yeah, that might be Colombia's problem, their defence.
Yeah.
Armero as well. He can't defend. He's great in attack in a 3-5-2 like he was at Napoli. Yeah.
Wasn't that just like the strangest loan move ever?
He's pretty one-dimensional. I remember him. He's a bit of a liability for Napoli.
Yeah.
But when he's going forward, he causes havoc.
Set up some nice goals for Cavani.
And they got Guarin, obviously.
Yeah, Cuadrado from Fiorentina. Cuadrado, right wing, yeah. He's good.
And James Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And so they have
just Cuadrado. What position does he play for Colombia?
Like, right. Oh, I don't know.
Do they play? I don't know what system Colombia play. Do they play like 4-4-2?
I've never seen them play before.
I watched them against Belgium. It was such a weird match. Belgium were all over them. Benteke missed about 3 sitters. This was during the season when his form was a bit poor, and he literally missed like 3 sitters. Then they had one chance, Falcao put away. They beat them 2-0 somehow. It was just like they actually got played off the park, but they beat them 2-0. 4-4-2. 4-4-2 they played. But,
Is Quintero on the squad?
Yeah. They've got some decent players in the squad. As I said, I've never... They look very suspect defensively. I'm looking at their results now. Last game they drew against Senegal 2-2. I know friendlies are nothing to go by, but... But then they drew 0-0 with Holland. And then they kept a clean sheet against Belgium. And then they drew 3-3 to Chile. So, I think that it's either they score loads of goals and concede loads of goals. Or they don't score many.
I think that's going to be the most likely outcome. Like, given the defence of Zapata, Ipes, Armero and Zuniga, with their attack, their match is going to end up like 4-3.
Yeah. Especially with someone like Ivory Coast as well, where, I mean, defensively...
They have the similar balance, don't they?
Yeah, and Japan as well. Japan ship a lot of goals. I know in the Confederations Cup, didn't they lose 3-0 to Brazil? 4-3 Italy. And I think, who'd they lose to? Mexico, was it? I think they may have lost to Mexico as well. So I know Japan aren't great defensively. I know they ship.
I don't think any of the three teams are. So Japan and Colombia.
That group could be very high scoring.
I see a lot of goals in this group.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Japan's last games. They beat Costa Rica 3-1, Cyprus 1-0, New Zealand 4-2, Belgium 3-2, Holland 2-2. You know, so it's high scoring games.
Toughest group to call, definitely.
Yeah. I think you called it the group of life in your article. I agree.
It's because none of them are like men. None of them you'd expect to be in the semis, but they're all so close together that it's not really hard to call.
I think all of them were going to the game believing they could win the group.
Yeah, we should make for some good football.
Yeah, I mean, the bookies have Colombia as favourites, and then Japan, close second favourites.
Okay, interesting.
I'll go with that as well. But
Ivory Coast versus Japan is going to be really important game. They both have quite different, like, they've got such different styles of play through, like, naturally being different shaped athletes. Yeah. And it's on at 2 a.m. though, so.
Yeah, that's the first game of the group, isn't it? Ivory Coast, Japan. Yeah. And then Japan, Colombia is the last game. Greece, Ivory Coast, the last game. So every game, you know, it's going to be a crunch game. And one result could swing it either way in that one. It could be a group where a team with like 4 points goes through, you know. All four teams have like 4 points or something like that. So it could be one of those sort of groups. Does anyone else have anything to say about Group C before we move on to the last group, Group D?
Nah, I think we're all saving it for Group D, to be honest.
Yeah, well, Group D is like obviously the most important group. We'll leave England to last because we will talk about the friendly against Ecuador. But I suppose the other two threats to England are Uruguay and Italy. Uruguay just about, they smashed Jordan 5-0 in the playoffs, but they finished fifth in their South American playoff group. How do we fancy Uruguay, guys?
I think England will go through along with Italy. I think with Suarez's injury as well.
We're definitely not going to see the best Suarez at this World Cup.
Yeah, they blamed Liverpool, apparently, for his injury. They said he came out of the season injured, so they blamed Liverpool. But
they were sending Paul Dummett death threats, weren't they?
That's crazy.
The Newcastle defender.
Oh, wow.
We shouldn't laugh, really, but...
They take football very seriously in South America. It's a life or death thing for a lot of them. But yeah, I agree. I think England, I'd be very surprised. Well, not surprised, disappointed if we don't get through this group. That will
mean more that we messed it up rather than...
They were too good, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this group.
I think Uruguay have some... Like, I love Cavani, like, probably a bit too much. He's not as good as I make out. But him and Suarez are both individually great players. Obviously Suarez ain't 100% fit. But if you see, like, some of the goals Cavani scored, like the free kick against Jordan that he scored, he's capable of sort of changing a match in a moment of magic. They do struggle. Like, if they're playing Lugano at centre-back, and I think... We need to take advantage of that. Play all the fast players and just target him.
But he's had a good season, though, hasn't he? For Atletico.
Did they get up with a 3-5-2 shape?
Who? Uruguay.
I don't think Forlan starts anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And I think they go with
Ramirez behind Cavani and Suarez with like.
I can't remember the whole.
Gaston Ramirez is a good player. I'm a fan of
the bald-headed lad. The people-looking guy. wow!
Gargano.
Who are we talking about?
The artist, pitbull-looking guy.
I thought you meant the dog.
No.
Chris Rodriguez.
Is it Walter Gargano?
I can't remember his name, to be honest. I can just picture his face, but he's sort of like a stocky lad, bald-headed fellow.
You're not talking about... it's not Rodriguez, is it?
Rodriguez, the left-winger from Atleti.
No, is he bald?
Nah. Bald, yeah.
Nah. Anyway,
I'm thinking of someone else.
He usually does the dirty work in behind the defence, so... I'm not too fussed about Uruguay. I do think they will probably struggle. They've got an aging team as well, don't they? Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at their defence, it doesn't... They've got Diego Lugano.
They've got Diego Godin and Cáceres, but Godin is their best defender, and he'll start with Lugano. I think they shift Cáceres out wide, because Lugano's their captain.
Mm.
So, they've got a bit of a makeshift defence, not an amazing midfield. They've got Gaston Ramirez, who's a bit of creativity, but all their strength is in their attack. Yeah. So when we play them, it's got to be operations stop the ball getting to Cavani of and course. Suarez.
Isn't Diego Perez someone to be looking out for? Is that a different Perez?
I don't think I've heard of him.
There is probably about a million Perezes in the world, but I'm pretty sure I saw someone talking about Diego Perez and Man United linked with...
Go on, mention us, go on.
Yeah, defensive midfielder plays for Bologna. Yeah.
Is that the same guy, is it?
Yeah, I've never seen him, but that's who he is.
Okay, because I've heard Man United linked with him before.
People with him, right payment issue, but yeah, I know you're talking about.
Okay. So what about Italy then? Italy haven't won since September, and whilst we were...
haven't won a game since 2013.
That is promising. That's saved a bit of depression from the Ecuador friendly.
Is that friendlies included?
No, that's friendlies included. They haven't won a game since September, which was against Czech Republic. They've drawn against Denmark, Armenia, Germany, Nigeria. They lost to Spain, drew against Republic of Ireland, and of course drew against Luxembourg yesterday.
That last one is shocking. That's
shameful. I mean, if that was England, Roy Hodgson would have lost his job already. You know, because that
is... You know what? I think he is experimenting with the team he's got. Yeah. I think that's what's happened. And it's he's got options, but then he hasn't got options at the same time. But I think he's experimenting with the team, and it's a struggle. But I think just through experience and know-how, they'll definitely get through the group. Most likely top the group.
Yeah.
And the man to watch out for is Pirlo, isn't he? He's the guy everyone's going to be looking to man mark.
I think more interesting about Italy is who they're actually going to go with up front, because they've got an embarrassment of riches up top, don't they? I mean, they've got some really promising strikers. Balotelli, you would imagine, would be in the prime seat to start.
Yeah, Balotelli will start. If they play 3-5-2... They'll probably have like a smaller striker, like
Insigne,
someone of that mould to partner him.
Jovinko didn't go, did he? Jovinko was not included.
How about Alessio Sarchi?
Yep, he was there. He's there. And Immobile.
There.
And they bought Pisano as well.
Destro.
Nope, no Destro.
Oh, wow.
No Destro.
Oh, okay.
No Destro. They went with Cassano instead.
Against Luxembourg, they played 4-5-1. They had Bartey, Bonucci, Chiellini, Deschilio, and then they had sort of a five-man midfield with only Candreva as the only winger, Marchisio and Verratti sort of the most offensive players, and Balotelli up top on his own.
Right.
So if they play five midfielders and we only play like two central midfielders, then we'll get destroyed. So yeah,
getting that ball back is going to be extremely difficult.
Yeah.
I think with Verratti, I think everyone's looking at Pirlo as the deep lying playmaker. He can dictate play, but Verratti does that job very well, and he sets the tempo. He's good with the ball. So I think them two.
Yeah.
I think,
and whoever plays as our number 10, whether it's like Rooney, Barkley, or even like Wilshere in a midfield three, if they try to dribble through their midfield, they're going to have a tough time getting past De Rossi. So
this is why I'll start Danny Welbeck. You probably think I'm crazy. I'll start Welbeck in there, man.
Where?
Yeah.
In the 10 or the hole, and just like he did against Alonso a couple of years back against Real, have him in there.
Yeah, if when you're playing these types of games, you can't really set up with your normal formation because you're going to have so little of the ball.
Mm.
It's like Rooney, I don't think, is really good enough for man marking someone like Pirlo to do that. So I would like be behind the idea of dropping him for that game, playing like someone like Welbeck or Barkley to try and man mark Pirlo. But I don't know. I don't even know what I'd do, and I'm normally the first guy to suggest something. So
no idea. Hodgson criticised Barkley.
Yeah, he said he gave the ball away
too much.
Yeah, he
does need to improve on his decision making. Like, he's got all the talent, but I think his passing in the final third, when that improves, he'll be amazing.
Yeah, I think even with I know he set up Lambert's goal, but at the time I didn't think that was the best decision too. I know it was a great finish.
Yeah,
it was a great finish, but he seemed to when he passed the ball to Lambert, he seemed to force him really wide.
Yeah, that was a
very good finish.
It was an extremely good finish. And if Lambert hadn't finished that, you'd sort of be thinking Barkley, like, final pass has to be a bit better.
He's frustrating. I think that's going to come back. Like, if we start Barkley against Italy, I don't think he will. It will come in age. But if we start Barkley against Italy and we actually get to attack and like and he's charging through the middle and you've got, say, Sterling on one side, maybe Welbeck on the other and Sturridge in front of him, and he if we start him, I think. Like, he'll be good at some stuff, but...
You guys see Barkley's future, because I was on Twitter yesterday, as you were, and a lot of people were saying they don't see him as a 10, they see him as a box-to-box midfielder, which is interesting. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't think he's good enough in the final third in terms of decision-making yet to be a number 10.
I think he could do both perfectly.
He's got good technique, and physically, his physicality gives him an advantage as well.
I was going to say he's got a great engine which allows him to get around the pitch. But I'm not too sure. I've had to see him as either a central midfielder, just sort of like a normal central midfielder, or a number 10.
I see him as a number 10, but only in a sort of counter-attacking team, because what he's best at is dribbling past players with runners coming off him so that he can play them in or shoot. Like, he's very much a counter-attack dribbling player, not a creative genius or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but he could evolve into a box-to-box player, but for the next sort of 5 years, I expect him to play as number 10.
Guys, we've actually forgotten about, you know, one of the best teams in the World Cup whilst we've moved on to England, and we've completely forgotten about Joel Campbell. I think I read that they're 2,500 to win the World Cup. So
they've got Brian Ruiz and Joel Campbell, that's about it. Their results look better than their team do, so you can't really rule out these South American teams.
Their top striker, I think, is out injured. Some bloke called Saborio or something.
Some bloke.
don't know who he is, but
what he does.
I think that'll be similar to Ecuador, like in terms of like physicality and intensity. I haven't seen too much of them,
I'd be disappointed if England don't come out of this group, honestly.
I mean, I've said before, I think it could come down to whoever smashes Costa Rica the most that goes through. And That sounds half in Costa Rica, but I think everyone's got to expect to beat them, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. So this whole Rooney, should he not play? Where do you guys stand on this?
It's tough because I think he's just one of our most talented players up there with sort of Sturridge and Gerrard and.
You're bottling it, Ruben. You're bottling it.
No, but I would be behind the idea of him being dropped just because he doesn't fit the system. He slows us down. He
doesn't fit the system. He's not fit, which for me is the most important factor.
See, with Rooney, Ferguson has said it. I've noticed it over the years. He needs about four or five games after injury to really get into his stride.
And we don't have that much time. So,
no, we don't.
Yeah, I think he just slows the game down when he plays as a 10 and we're countering.
I think he should be a 9. And that's what I've got to pick out of him and Sturridge.
After this season, there's only one answer, I was having the same debate
with Ayo. Like I was saying, I'm not a fan of, like, Sturridge gets into the England team for his work up front, and then when you play for England, you're putting him wide right. That's not for me. He can do the job there, but I'd rather see one of the more natural wingers playing wide right rather than pushing Sturridge out to a position to accommodate Rooney, if you know what I mean. I'd rather just the manager makes a decision and sticks with it and lives by it, not trying to, this has always been England's problem. Throw all the best players in there and hopefully they can sort it out for you. And football doesn't
Gerard
work
Lampard.
Like that.
Gerard Lampard's goals.
That was never going to work. Scores on the left. I mean, come on.
I didn't realise at the time because I was so young how ridiculous that was, playing Scholes on the left and Lampard centre mid. And Lampard was great back then, but playing Scholes out of position to favour him,
Heskey right wing. Oh no, but he played there for Liverpool, didn't he?
Starting Heskey up front in 2010 was an absolute crime. Like, I don't know why we couldn't have stopped one striker and then played Gerrard. Gerrard started on the left as well.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
It's just depressing, you know.
What would you guys do? So you drop Rooney?
I think for Italy, I'd probably drop Rooney.
I personally, I'll go him as number 9. Me personally.
So instead
of Sturridge up top.
No, I'll shift Sturridge out wide. Just because when I've seen Sturridge for England, when he does play, and say if he didn't score, he doesn't really do much.
Rooney, Wayne Rooney is not playing well. He's not playing well, and that's the thing. When he's not playing well, it's really bad. His touch is off, his passes are off, he doesn't really move around much, and like Ruben said, he slows everything down. I don't know if that's the guy I want spearheading my attack, man.
Then he tends to get frustrated, he tends to want the ball, seek it, drop in, drop too deep.
No penetration in the other team. While Sturridge, he's sharper, he's fitter, he's in form, he's scoring goals. Yeah. Like, it was just for me, for now, like, Rooney, the only reason thing that makes me think about it is what I know he's capable of doing, but I think we'll see the best Wayne Rooney at this World Cup.
The thing is, what you're saying is that if you don't play Rooney in the first game and he doesn't play, he's going to need to get games anyway. So it's a thing where you're not going to play him throughout the World Cup.
No, he'll be coming on. He's an option off the bench. But
I would bring him on for Sturridge maybe in the second game or even against Italy when Sturridge gets tired, because he's going to have to do a lot of pressing against Italy in the hot conditions. So Sturridge can't play every minute of every group game. So Rooney will get game time and he might even start a couple. But I would drop
him. Or he could start against Costa Rica even.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, to get a good run out. But
if you need to win the game against Costa Rica and Sturridge has done really well up to that point, you don't really drop Sturridge, do you?
Yeah, but I think if we can't beat Costa Rica with Wayne Rooney up front,
I don't see why you would drop Sturridge. If he scores two goals in the first two games, why would you drop Sturridge then for the most important game of the group where you need to win?
I wouldn't drop him, but I would bring Rooney into the team. Like, I wouldn't be, like, against the better teams, I just wouldn't play him as a number 10. He's just taken.
He's not a number 10. He's more of a false 9.
He's a full 9. Yeah.
There is a difference. I'd agree with that.
I wouldn't take him away, but for those teams, I wouldn't want to play him as a number 10, but I would bear the brunt of Rooney in the number 10 role against Costa Rica. Like, I think
Hodgson has got the balls to drop him anyway.
He's like the student in the school team who's been good for a while and the teacher's scared to drop. It's just because he can do stuff, but he hasn't done it in ages. Yeah. Like, it's that against Italy, I don't know about Wilshere, but I consider playing just like a 5-man midfield, like Bayern, with Gerrard sitting, Henderson and Wilshere pressing it just ahead of him, two fast wingers to counter, and Sturridge up top on his own. And then bring on Barkley, bring on Rooney maybe, bring on Welbeck, people like that.
Mm.
I don't know, I just think, like, with Sturridge, whenever I've seen him, in an England shirt. I mean, obviously, like, he does, like, he does grab a goal or two. But
he's not the same.
Yeah, he's just, like, I don't know. It's like he hasn't integrated well with the rest of the team. I mean, like, I don't know. I just watch him and it's just, like, I want to see more. Like, I don't see, like, if he doesn't score, he hasn't played well.
Okay, but who's playing better for England right now out of him and Rooney? That's what I'd ask you next.
Sturridge, of course.
Sturridge is more influential for Liverpool even when he doesn't score. Yeah.
But I think Rooney's off the ball quality, such as his hold up play, his link up play, could be decisive. I mean,
that's a fit, and again, that's a fit where Rooney. When people talk about these things, I almost feel like you guys are not watching what he's bringing to the team games. He's not bringing it. What did he do in the last game? He didn't do anything. Other than getting his goal, he didn't really do much. He barely got on the ball, he didn't even run around, so I don't know how exactly he's going to get match fit. He was pretty static out there on the left. All the other young kids, they outshone him, to be honest with you.
I don't know how. Obviously, the only reason he started Rooney on the left was to get minutes for Rooney and to try blocking the hole, but Rooney is not effective out there so anymore. Maybe 2007, 2008, 2009, when he was young and he had Ronaldo up top and he had him and Park Ji-sung, etc., etc. But Rooney of now has to play as a nine, otherwise he doesn't.
That's for me, the manager has to make a decision and stick with it. And in his last press conference, he was talking the talk, so we'll see. He was like, I don't get this position, I don't get this obsession with Wayne Rooney. The country wants to talk about him all the time. Like, it doesn't matter if I think he's an exceptional player or not. He didn't actually make a decision in that regard. But it's like, because if I say he is, you guys will run with that. And if I say he's not, you guys will run with that too. So,
he said the same about Barkley as well. He said, I don't know why everyone's obsessed with what's Barkley. There's other players to watch out for. So, I don't know. I don't think he'll drop Rooney. I don't think he will. But
guys, there's a few people who have, like, messaged in with listeners' questions. Guna Chizzy and Mo Shiwa AFC. They both are asking a question about Chamberlain. Do you stick or twist with Chamberlain? I know most Arsenal fans would tell you, send him home.
Wrap him up in cotton
wool. Because, you know, Arsenal fans don't want to see Chamberlain out for a long period of time. But, I mean, for the benefit of England,
I think he's our best winger.
Yeah,
I'd say he's better than Sterling. Like, he's on par with Sterling at the moment. And I think we should keep him out there, play other people on the wing until he's fit. Because if we get through the group, he'll be fit for the Colombia game or whoever we get to play. And he might even be fit for Costa Rica, because it's not that bad.
They said it could be 10 days.
Yeah, that's all right. But
10 days to 3 weeks, that's an 11. Why can't they get a bit more specific than
I suppose it depends on, like, the swelling and stuff, doesn't it?
If we assume it's about 2 weeks, then he should be back for the Uruguay game.
But you see, with injuries, don't they sort of, like, rather than predict the earliest he could come back, don't they sort of predict, like, the maximum? So, like,
I don't know. But they could be doing it a bit different because of the timescale of the World Cup. They could be sort of
making everybody optimistic.
Yeah. Would you guys keep him out there, would you?
Whatever happens again, are we going to get to see the best Chamberlain? If he does come back. That's the thing.
What
was that
injury? Medial ligaments.
That's quite bad. Like,
to me.
And he's sort of a dynamic player, so it's like...
takes a lot of his game out of him.
Let's say we did get rid of him, who would you want to see back in the
team?
That's
the question.
Exactly, there's no one who deserves it. If Walcott and Townsend were fit, then one of them would be fine. Walcott would have gone.
Anyway,
I wouldn't mind calling up Townsend, because he's alright. But nobody else deserves it, really. So, Young, definitely not.
What about, you would probably have to go in, maybe look at someone like Carrick, maybe to bolster up the midfield.
Definitely has to be somebody from the backup squad, right?
Guna Chizzy can't be Cleverley.
He would literally contribute nothing. Carrick or another winger would be the only options.
Well, Guna Chizzy says to bring in Flanagan, since we don't have much cover at right back.
Oh, don't get me started on Flanagan.
The thing with Carrick, he's not had the greatest of seasons, which is fair enough. As a United fan, I don't think he has, personally. Yeah. But if Gerrard gets injured, I would 100% have Carrick in there as your holding midfielder.
If you're going to take four central midfielders, I'd rather start
Carrick, full stop. Also, he brings balance. He brings balance.
Exactly.
Because Gerrard, me personally, I think he's only playing the steep line role because his legs,
he has to.
Because he doesn't have the legs to be the Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, we're just like we're accommodating Gerrard essentially, aren't we?
Exactly, and I don't think anyone else in the any other central midfielder in the team has the capability to win the ball and sort of dictate play.
It's the only reason Lampard's dropped so deep as well. Like, if you're going to take four central midfielders to play in sort of like a double pivot, Gerrard contribute, like, that him and Henderson have done well this season together, so that works. Lampard-Wilshere yesterday was an absolute mess. If Carrick was playing next to Wilshere, there'd have been much more balance. Or even Carrick next to Lampard. I don't want to hate on Wilshere because he's quite good, but just if Carrick was there somewhere, we'd have more balance in midfield.
I think Michael Carrick is, he's in that heat as well, so retaining the ball is going to be very important.
That's a great
and
point.
He's probably the best player in the England squad.
He's so composed. He's so composed on the ball. Never panics.
I think that's a really great point. I mean, we've gone to like tournaments and we've seen we can't even like put string together five passes. I mean, I remember was it the last World Cup? No, sorry, the last Euros. We struggled against teams like Algeria, USA.
Mate, we struggled against Peru the other day to keep hold of the ball. It was so frustrating to watch.
English fans don't tend to appreciate a player like Carrick, and with the English job, it's kind of
because
like
with Carrick, it's all, always media. Sideways passing and stuff like that. Oh, all he does is pass sideways.
With the fans,
he doesn't.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what the
that's the rhetoric.
They call him the crab, don't they? So
yeah, with the and then kind of the media kind of picks the England team. The media and the fans kind of pick. So once that happens, like
I think if you're not a Scholes or a Gerrard, if you're not a goal scoring midfielder who's going to break through and score 20 plus goals a season, you're not really going to be rated. But yeah. Michael Carrick is a good player.
So if Carrick was in the Italian, you know, someone like
Montolivo, Marquise also.
You know, he'd be rated.
If Montolivo was English, I don't know. Like, he'd get in the squad, but I don't know if people would rate him that highly. They'd say, oh, he doesn't drive forward enough, doesn't tackle enough, because to be appreciated by the English general public, you either have to be a cruncher, like Hargreaves was kind of a great, he was a great defensive midfielder, so people kind of liked him, but they still thought he didn't do enough because he wasn't attacking. Yeah, exactly.
It was only the World Cup.
Or you have to be Gerrard, Scholes, Lampard, who scores goals and attacks and plays great passes. You can't just be someone who brings stability to the team, because apparently that's not like influential enough in attack, which is pretty stupid. But
stupid, because they call it the macaroni.
That's hungry enough.
Yeah.
Don't you remember that striker Macaroni? Who remembers that striker Macaroni? He's played for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, the Middlesbrough striker.
Yeah.
Macaroni.
So
he was quality.
The Macaroni role, but that role that Carrick plays, it's been in football for as long as I've...
The Wolves of Carrick role, isn't it? Like, what's his name? Deschamps, I think, did it for France.
As long as I can remember.
Deschamps. Senna did it for Spain before Busquets and Alonso arrived, yeah.
So it's just crazy that we have a player that does that role so well and he just can't get a look in.
Unless that's not natural there. I don't think he's a natural in that position, and the fact that his distribution with the ball's been good for Liverpool in terms of his long range passing and whatnot, but they've still shipped in a lot of goals, and his job is to protect the back four, which I don't think he's done as well as maybe he should have or could have.
We'll see how it goes, man. We'll see how it goes. We should be getting out of the group. I'd like to see us at least get to the quarters, and I'd like the young guys to get a good run out. Looking forward towards the Euros.
Okay, guys. I've got one more listener's question. A lot of people are asking it. I suppose we could do it from outside of group. So what we've covered from A to D, who do you think would be the breakout star in the World Cup from that section? So, I mean, someone mentioned that Grosso, was it in 2006, the Italian left-back?
Yeah, he was great.
And Honda in 2010, Mo tweets said that. So who do you think would be this year's surprise stars?
Just the group.
We'll do from the four groups that we've done.
I think Jordi Clasi, if he gets a look in, I think he could have a good World Cup.
I think Bernard for Brazil will impress. I've heard quite a bit about him, so I went to watch a few of his games for Shakhtar, but yeah, I think he could actually do a job. He's got quality on him, man. He's tight, he's a small guy, but he's got skill, he's got pace, he can create. Yeah, if he's on the pitch, you know, like just last 20, 30 minutes just to stretch teams when they're a bit tired, yeah, I think he could be a breakout star.
I think Kovacic. I think Kovacic could be great for Croatia, alongside Modric, with Rakitic and Vidic in the midfield, with Mandzukic up top. I think he could be great. Like from what I've seen him, I've seen him play like maybe four or five games for Inter. He looks really comfortable defending and attacking. Great long shot. Yeah, he's great. So I think he'll probably be a standout star from these four.
Yeah. I think Carlos Bacca for Colombia. Now that Falcao's got injured, I mean, I don't know who Colombia are going to start from, but I've seen Carlos Bacca a few times, and I think maybe he could pull up some trees.
I would have said Oxlade-Chamberlain if he didn't get that injury as well. It's such a shame.
Who, man, sorry?
He looks, I would have said Oxlade-Chamberlain. He looked such a live wire yesterday. Such a shame that that he got the injury.
Yeah.
Guys, any more?
Ivory Coast, even though he's had a good season anyway.
Sure I think Arsenal fans will be looking out for him.
He's not even thinking about World Cup. He's thinking about signing on the dotted line.
Well,
Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean,
he's virtually prostituting himself. Like,
the guy is such a beg.
I've got another listener's question.
Yeah, go on. Just give him a shout out as well. Give him a shout out, yeah.
At Real Lloyd, he asks, who would you predict to be the top scorer of the whole tournament and the Golden Ball winner?
Fernando Torres.
So you predict Torres for the top scorer. Who would you have for the Golden Ball? That's the best player.
Neymar. I think Neymar and mate like Fred or Torres, depending which country wins the.
I'm gonna say Fred
for top goal scorer.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
what's the Golden Ball? What's the Golden Ball?
It's the player of the tournament. I think did Forlan or Iniesta win it last time?
Forlan. I'm gonna go for Oscar.
Oh,
what's
that?
I think Neymar, Golden Ball. Yeah, I think Neymar, Golden
Ball, and top scorer will be Fred or Torres. Fred is 18-1, so that's good money. Torres is 40-1, so if you're gonna slap on it, do it now. Golden Ball, you said. Golden Ball is who did you guys say?
Neymar.
7-1. He's the favourite. I think
everyone seems to be dismissing Messi and Ronaldo.
Messi's 8-1, Ronaldo 12-1.
I don't think they've got the players around them to allow them to showcase their abilities to the best, to the highest quality. Argentina, like, people keep mentioning them as a dark horse, but I don't see it. The defence is too weak for me personally for them to actually go too deep in. Messi would be, just not put it all on Messi, but they would have done well to get to the semis. For me personally, but we'll see, man. There's always one team that kind of shocks everybody, so why not them? But yeah, I'd say Oscar to be the Golden Ball.
Okay, guys, any more listeners' questions for before we wrap things up?
Hold on, wait. I didn't get to pick my my breakout player, but I'm gonna go quickly.
Oh, go on, man.
James Rodriguez from Colombia. Oh yeah, that's actually a good choice. He's a good player, right?
Have we actually decided? Is his name James or Hammers?
I think, right, it's spelt James, but he's Colombian, so they speak Spanish, so it's pronounced James.
I've named him after James Bond, his parents.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Named him after James Bond.
Still, maybe, I don't know if Spain have an equivalent for that name then, but, yeah.
They most probably would call him James, though. James, oi, James.
I'm English.
Okay, guys, any more listeners' questions before we wrap it up?
I think we covered it, but from Harry De Niro, we've kind of touched on it, but I think we'll go with it. He asks, how would you have England approach the game in terms of line-up, a defensive or offensive against Italy, from Harry De Niro?
I said earlier, the 4-5-1 with a sort of three-man midfield, try and contain fast wingers.
Who would you guys start, maybe?
Who would your lineup be for the first England game, or just in general?
I think definitely Jack and Stevie in midfield.
I think Jack Wilshere is definitely more talented, but I think Henderson might be quite important.
Henderson and Gerrard, I'd be in there.
Yes.
I hate to say it, I don't really particularly like him either, but his work rate will be...
I think with Henderson, though, it's that, like, the way he played with Liverpool, he's not the same system and way he'll play with England. So will his qualities be able to be as visible for England?
He seems scared as well, that's the thing. He seems scared out there. It's like, Hodgson needs to give him the talk, like, just play how you play for Liverpool. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, he was a bit limited against Peru. He didn't really push forward at all.
Standing right beside Gerrard the whole time, should have thrown a paper bag over
there. They're holding hands.
So, yeah, but I think if they can get him to do that role that he's there for, that would be very valuable against Liverpool. Because you do need somebody, a midfielder on there, on the player's feet. Like, you don't want them to have time on the ball to look up, start picking out passes.
That's why I'd start Welbeck, because he won't give Verratti or Pirlo time on the ball. Welbeck does that in that hole there, just for this game particularly.
Yeah. He does that job well, but you can guarantee Welbeck to mess up one of the counter-attacking chances that comes his way. That's the only annoying thing about him. But defensively, yeah, definitely, he always does a good job in that regard.
I think he's unfairly berated, though, because... Although, understandably, he makes the odd mistake on the ball. But I think he's got good feet.
He's clumsy for me, man.
He's a bit of a puppy. He still needs to grow into his feet. But like, when he gallops down the pitch, and if we had him and Sterling, because Oxlade-Chamberlain's obviously going to miss it. If you had him and Sterling wide, Welbeck could do a lot of work. Pressing.
He's like Walcott in many ways. If you don't give him time to think. It's all instinctive with him.
Yeah,
I think if you give him time to think, that's when he makes the mistakes. Whereas when he's not thinking about it and he's just instinctive, very good player.
Yeah, he still reminds me of like a giraffe on ice, like on ice skates. He's just got that sort of thing about him.
Once he gets going, he could go really quick.
Yeah, but it's crazy. You're like maybe get past two players and then. When it's time to shoot, he'll scuff it, or hit his heel. Yeah.
Who are we talking about? We're talking about Walcott.
Welbeck.
I thought you talking about Walcott. Sorry.
I think we need to remember the goal he scored against Sweden in 2012. I think that deserves things just like that. Appreciation. Like,
come on, he's that guy, isn't it?
Well,
he's got skill. It's annoying. Like, it's like you've been in the first.
You can see that with Muenstein when he was the younger player. That him and I know everyone don't like him, but him and Tom Cleverley did a lot of small-sided, technical-sided.
I liked
Cleverley for a while.
Personally, I still think there's a player in Cleverley.
I think he should go Everton. He really should
under Martinez next to McCarthy.
Everton just a spot for every kind of. Technical, decent passing player now, man.
I actually think he'll do very well there, personally, because Martinez liked him from his Wigan days. When he was at Wigan.
I think he can still be a decent player for us, man. I'd like to see what Van Gaal does with him. He has no confidence.
I think Van Gaal will like him, personally.
But I think with Cleverley, you've got to identify what is his position. Because, for me, he's not a deep lion. He's not a box-to-box. He's just... a central midfielder.
He's just there.
Ferguson sort of
he's just like Joe Allen, really, isn't he?
He's just very there. Yeah, he tends to play like a deep line midfielder, though. That's annoying because you'll play with Carrick you can't have two guys doing that Carrick role. You need somebody who's going to be aggressive and push through the other team and penetrate them and make the risky passes and complete the risky passes.
But there's just no one there to do that, which is why they both get scrutinised, because they don't do that when it's not their job.
If you think back to when we played, I don't know, do you guys remember the Community Shield game where United played City?
Yes, Cleverley, Manny, they were so good that game.
Yeah. Confidence is so important for a player, and he's on zero, man. It's like
he's on negative, mate.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll definitely still have a little bit of hope left in him. If Van Gaal will be a great manager to try and probe that little player that's in him out of him. So we'll see, man. We'll see how it goes with him.
I don't think he has it in him. Because I just watch him. I just think, like, you see when someone, he seems like he's programmed to be like a five-a-side player. I don't think he has the expansiveness in his game.
He's showing it. I've seen it in him.
He's very fluid in what he does. I mean, like, he retains and like, recycles the ball well. I mean, like, sort
and
of.
And if you do that, he crosses decent. He gives you nice touches in tight spaces.
Technically, he's pretty sound, but I just think.
I think it's his character.
Okay, guys. I think,
sorry, guys.
Yeah, you know, Cleverley is not really a.
It's not United confessions.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, Cleverley's not really the most entertaining subject.
We don't care.
you're not on the plane, so dead that. Let's be.
I've got a few listeners' questions asking me to talk about Cesc. I will not be succumbing to these demands. So, fuck you, Cesc.
Yeah, that was weekend. Yeah,
fuck you, Wenger. Any other questions that don't regard Cesc Fabregas?
No?
Okay, so I guess we'll wrap it up there. Before we do wrap it up, I need to do a quick shout-out because I did a quiz on the Touchdown Fracker Twitter account the other day. And after a bit of a fuck-up on the last question, we finally got there. So I promised a few shout-outs. Galactico got one of the questions right. So did DH Plus Nanny. And sorry, Young Pippin, you don't get a shout-out because I was wrong on one of the answers. Instead, it goes to CFC O'Brien. CFC O'Brien, yeah. So, shout-out to you guys.
We just gave him a shout-out there.
Sorry?
We just gave Young Pippin a shout-out by
him. Yeah, but I gave him a full shout-out, so it's not really a shout-out. It's like, yeah.
That wasn't a shout-out, Young
Pippin. Oh, and shout-out to Nathan Dixon for the correction as well. He showed me up with his superior math skills. But yeah, guys, thank you for joining us today. Thank you to my guests. And we will see you next week. Ciao.
It's a pleasure.
Cheers.
Thanks.
See you.
It wasn't easy, but nothing is. No. Woo-hoo! When I feel at the middle, woo-hoo! And I feel that I need a woo-hoo! When I lie and I'm easy all of the time, but I'm never sure what I need to. Young. It's not my problem.